We were just singing about let your rain fall, let your glory, you know, fall afresh on us. And one of the keys is yieldedness. And yieldedness is the exact opposite of striving. You cannot strive your way into the presence of God. You yield your way into the presence of God. You surrender your way into the presence of God. When you fully surrender and yield your free will, you know what I mean by free will? That part right in here that makes choices. When you surrender and yield your will, your heart, the core of who you are over to God, in that place of surrender, something glorious happens. As you lay yourself down, the glory of God fills you up. You become a carrier. You truly become a carrier of the divine presence, the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the most glorious thing we could ever experience on this side of eternity. Today is a very, for me, today is a very special day. Today we're celebrating Rosh Hashanah. How many are familiar with that? And I feel like I just want to talk into that a little bit and then just see where the Lord takes it. But for me and our ministry over the last 15 years, we have experienced very significant shifts, alignments, and transitions during this time of the year. Rosh Hashanah, if you know the Jewish calendar versus the Greek calendar, Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the Hebrew calendar. So Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And you know what the reality is of this new year? Anything is possible. All things are possible. It's like today we step into a new beginning. Today we step into unlimited potential of what we can see God do in this new year, in our lives and through our lives. So I want to say Happy New Year in the glory. And when we look at Rosh Hashanah, even the spiritual significance of this day on the spiritual calendar, I call it a spiritual calendar, this day begins what we know to be the 10 days of awe that leads up into the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And you know the Day of Atonement is when the high priest would go in and make atonement for his sin and for the sins of the whole nation of Israel. And, you know, I just want to give you some of the history because I feel like it's good to know the spiritual significance of it. Rosh Hashanah, known as the Feast of Trumpets, and as I've studied this out, it was during this festival, during this feast, that the Jewish people would pray, and they would pray very specifically during this time. They would pray for God's forgiveness, they would pray for God's blessing on the new year, and they would pray for a long life. Those are good things to pray for. And during this spiritual season, really, the eyes of God search the heart of man. And it's an amazing time, a wonderful time for us to humble ourselves before God. Let him search our hearts. Let him judge our hearts in a good way. And have a submissive, like we're talking about the yieldedness. Have a yielded, submissive heart to God. And allow a fresh consecration to come into our lives. Allow God to freshly, in a deeper way, consecrate us. And one of the things I've learned about this living relationship that we have with God is that consecration is not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. Sometimes it's a moment-by-moment thing. How many know what I'm talking about? To consecrate yourself to God, to submit yourself to God is not just, okay, God, I choose to submit and now it's done the rest of my life. No, it's a daily choice where we say, God, I submit my life to you today. I submit my heart to you today. I submit my thoughts to you, my will to you. I submit to you. I consecrate. I set myself apart for something that is eternal. So on this day, Rosh Hashanah, they would emphasize really this humility, this forgiveness. They would blow a shofar. They would call all the people together. There would be repentance of sin. And there would be really an internal awakening to God. And I really believe that the position we take even today, even this weekend, the position we take before God determines even sets into motion the course for our year. And what we even sow during this time, because it's known as the head of the year. It's the head of the year. And really, there's a lot I could go into historically. But let me just say this. I really believe that the choices we make now, the heart choices we make, the consecration we make, set the course for our coming year. The seeds that we sow in prayer, the seeds we sow even with our free will choices, because you know your free will choice is a seed, right? Every choice you make is a seed you plant that ends up becoming a harvest. And I've learned this too about the anointing. Let's even just talk about this in our prayer life. You realize this. Every time you pray a prayer, you're sowing a seed in the spirit. The prayer life you had yesterday determines your harvest today. Because there's always seed time and harvest. And I've noticed even in my life that the times and the seasons where I would consecrate and pray and spend time with God, during those times of sowing into the spirit, I would then walk into a harvest of the anointing, of breakthrough, of answered prayer, and it would be a good harvest. So when you sow seeds today, you're preparing your harvest tomorrow. And sometimes people sow bad seeds, they make bad choices, negative choices, and then they end up in a negative harvest. But here's the great thing about harvest. Harvest is not static. Because if you have any area of your life with a negative harvest, you can see that harvest transformed by today. Everyone say today. Today, beginning to make choices and pray prayers and submit your heart and begin to make transitions in your life that will shift your harvest from negative to positive in your future. So even if some areas of your life today in this present moment have some negative harvest in it, it doesn't have to stay like that forever. You can see your harvest transformed into the blessing of God, the healing of God, the wholeness of God, the freedom of God, the joy of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I love it. So we submit to God. We yield to God. We surrender to God. He comes in. He purges out everything that's not of Him. And following Rosh Hashanah goes into the 10 days of awe, leading into Day of Atonement. Now, I talked about the Day of Atonement is, and I really believe this, that as we really submit and say, Lord, you know, have you ever sat before God? Really sat before Him and said, Holy Spirit, shine your light in my heart and show me anything that could potentially grieve your heart. And allow the light of the Lord to shine on your heart and to shine in your spirit. And then to illuminate those things that He wants to consecrate out and purge out of your life. You see, it's in those moments of quietness. And I love quiet prayer before God. I love that place. If you've ever listened to one of my my prayer CDs back there, are on the prayer CD Awakening, we have a whole track on there called Solitude, Alone with God. And I on purpose took the singing chanting of monks and put it on there. If you've never heard it, it's my favorite track on that CD. It's like it feels like you're in the middle of this cathedral with the song of these old ancient, you know, monks singing and worshiping God. And in that place of quietness, in that place of solitude, where your thoughts quiet and your heart quiets, and you position yourself before God for His still small voice to speak to you. In those moments, God is able to illuminate anything in you that could potentially be a hindrance in your relationship with Him. A hindrance to His anointing, a hindrance to His presence, a hindrance to the fullness of abundant life that God has for you. And the amazing thing is that as you surrender and yield, as you give yourself over, anointing of the Holy Spirit comes in and He just takes it right out. And there's freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Some of the greatest freedom you will ever experience in your life is not even in a conference setting. It's when you are all alone in your room, in your secret private place with God. and you really come into that place. And I want to look at, because this whole thing, 10 days of all, goes into the Day of Atonement. And what is the Day of Atonement? It's where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, put the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat, atone for his sin and then the sin of the whole nation. We know that that was a foreshadow of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, that he took the blood of his own sacrifice, went through the veil into the Holy of Holies, into heaven, and put his blood on the mercy seat, atoning for all of our sin. And the amazing thing about that moment of fulfillment, I mean, think about it. Think about all of the sacrifices made throughout all of the Old Testament, year after year after year, of the Day of Atonement taking place and the sins of the people being covered. And then finally, our great high priest goes into the Holy of Holies in heaven itself, puts his blood on the mercy seat, and atones for our sin. And then not only that, he rends the veil from top to bottom and says, not only have I atoned for your sin, but now I've made a way for you to come into the Holy of Holies yourself. Where it's not just one person, it's not just the high priest that gets to go into the Holy of Holies. Now we all get to go into the Holy of Holies. In fact, we don't just get to go into the Holy of Holies, we get to bring the Holy of Holies with us. Oh, praise God. It's no longer the glory of God sheltered away in this, behind this veil, in this place that is inaccessible, because that veil has been opened up and God says, through the blood of his son Jesus, you have free access into this place that only one had access for centuries. Now, we all have access. And because the veil is open, not only can we go in, but the glory comes out. Oh, praise God. The glory comes out. This is why I said earlier in this weekend, we become walking revivals. We become walking carriers of this Shekinah glory that was once cloistered away. But now that glory is on us and in us. Consecration is such a key to this. And I've learned something. The presence of God is holy, right? We know that, right? The presence is holy. And I think there's all these different aspects to God. And I love to take all the aspects of God and see them collectively together to get the full picture of God. Yes, he's our daddy God. He's our father. He's our loving father that loves us, accepts us unconditionally. And we get to experience this freedom and this intimacy and this love with God. But he's also holy. And there is something about the anointing that when the anointing touches your life, it will change you. It will change it. And the anointing will make you holy too. Oh, yeah. The anointing makes us holy. The anointing consecrates us and sets us apart. And I want to look here because the Day of Atonement, the high priest Aaron, he was the very first high priest. And go to Leviticus chapter 8, if you have your Bibles. Leviticus chapter 8. He was here, Aaron and his sons, he was the very first high priest that would go into this Holy of Holy place on the Day of Atonement. And he would go right into the glory. He would go right into that place of the glory of God. And there are spiritual principles we can learn from Aaron today that I believe will even increase our awareness of what it is to go into and be connected with the glory, the heavy, weighty presence of God. And so here it starts out in Leviticus chapter 8. Aaron and his sons were taken, and first the garments and the anointing oil, the bull of the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread. And here they all assembled together at the tent of meeting, at the door of the tent of meeting. And in verse 6, Moses brings Aaron and his sons, and the first thing he does is he washes them with water. He washes them with water. Now, I want to look at each one of these things from a New Testament perspective and a New Testament fulfillment. Aaron was washed with water. What does the Bible say about being washed with water in the New Testament? It says that the reading of the word washes us with water. We are washed by the word of God. So in this first step, and the whole thing I'm looking at here is what was the process of consecration that happened in Aaron's life as high priest that prepared him to go into the glory of God. Number one, he was washed. So I want to encourage you. I want to really encourage you. Whether you listen to the word, whether you read the word, I want to encourage you to have a lifestyle of reading the word of God. Because every single time you read the Bible, now we have to understand this. The Bible is unlike any other book on the planet. You can read another book, you can read it once, and you're like, okay, I'm done with it. Maybe twice. But the Bible is living. It's a living word, which means you could read it over and over and over again, the same scripture over and over and over again, and not get bored with it. And still get revelation from it. And still get deeper wisdom from it. Because it's a living word. And every time you read the word, have you ever experienced this? I've experienced this, that when you sit and read the word, you feel spiritually washed. How many have experienced that? When you read the Bible, after you read it, you feel washed. You feel clean after you read the word of God. Well, that's what happened here with Aaron, his sons. They were washed with water like we get washed with the water of God's word. Then in verse 10, it says, Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. And he poured some of the anointing oil in verse 12. He poured some of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him. For what purpose? To consecrate him. He was anointed with oil to consecrate him. And there's something we have to understand about the anointing today. When the anointing of the Holy Spirit touches your life, it is not just to make you feel good. Although God's presence will make you feel good. The anointing has a consecrating factor to it. When the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that's why I love when we have extended times of prayer here. And we have extended times of worship here. What's happening? God's anointing is being poured over us. What's happening as a result of that? As the anointing touches us, we are set apart and we are consecrated to God. Aaron was consecrated by the anointing oil. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to anoint us, we get consecrated. We get set apart for holy purpose. Hallelujah. The anointing breaks every yoke. The anointing breaks the pull of sin. The anointing breaks temptation. The anointing breaks and removes things of the world, the spirit of the world that will try to pull you. That's what the anointing does. It breaks all that stuff off of you and sets you apart. So Aaron was set apart by the anointing oil. And then it goes on here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it goes on. They do the sacrifices. There's consecration for the sin. And then I want to read this. After they do the sacrifice, they take the blood of the sacrifice and they do something very unusual with it in verse 23. Moses killed it and took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the toe of his right foot. So they take the blood from the sacrifice. So now Aaron's been washed with water. He's been anointed with oil. Not only has he been anointed with oil, but his garments have been anointed with oil. And the garments were symbolic of his office and his function. And just like he had garments, we have garments spiritually. Where God puts garments on us, what does the Bible say? Wait until you are clothed with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We were clothed with a garment, and he's called the Holy Spirit. He's a garment that covers us. And the garment that we wear empowers us for the function we have in God. So even the garment is anointed and consecrated spiritually on us. And then they take this blood of the sacrifice, put it on the ear, the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. Blood is put on his ear, his hand and his foot. Blood cleanses. Blood consecrates. Blood was put on his ear. Look, God wants our ears, our hearing to be consecrated. What we listen to, what we let in, the conversation we have, all of this is connected to the consecration of the ear. You will hear the word of God and have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You see, what you hear, it either inspires faith in your heart or it can even pull you in a place away from God. Consecrated his ear, his hand. His hand was consecrated. What does that mean? That means our activity becomes consecrated. What we do becomes consecrated. His foot was consecrated with blood, which means his walk was consecrated. He was consecrated from his head all the way down to his foot. In other words, his whole body was set apart as holy to God. Oh, hallelujah. And we have something better than the blood of a bull. We have the blood of Jesus, the living Son of God, the great high priest. His blood upon us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, consecrating our hearing, our actions, and our walk. He consecrates the whole thing. And when you're a believer, you can run, but you can't hide. Yeah. You see, once you get consecrated by the blood of Jesus, he's not going to let you get away with anything. Praise God. Praise God. Look, I am so thankful he doesn't let us get away with anything. You know why? Because he wants to keep us on the path of blessing. He wants to keep us on the highway of holiness. He wants to keep us on the pathway of abundant life, which is the pathway of consecration. Consecration is not like a bad thing. It's an amazing thing that we get to walk with God, talk with God, work with God. We get to do everything with God because we're consecrated, made holy by the blood of Jesus. And I want you to understand this today. You are not consecrated by your own works. You are consecrated by the blood of Jesus. Through faith in the blood of Jesus, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are consecrated, set apart, made holy for God's presence, for God's work, for God's call. Praise the Lord. So here, he was consecrated, anointed with oil. I want to read one more scripture here, verse 30. Leviticus 8, verse 30. Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar, sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments, upon his sons and their garments. Moses consecrated Aaron and his garments and his son and his son's garments. In other words, everything about them was consecrated and set apart through the anointing and through the blood. We can never remove the preaching of the blood of Jesus and the preaching on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because it's those two things, the blood and the anointing, that consecrate us, that set us free, that heal us, and bring us into a place where we can touch the divine presence and glory of God. Hallelujah. I love this. And we get to step into this place where the Bible says we now are kings and priests. Jesus is our great high priest, but we become kings and priests and prophets. Jesus was king, priest, and prophet. He was all three. And as his people, we get to step into that kingship, that priesthood, and that prophetic. We get to step into it. And we get to take of the glory that was once locked away in the Holy of Holies, and we get to release that everywhere we go. And I want to share something. What time is it? Okay. I got a little bit more time. We have the ability as new covenant priests, kings, and prophetic people. We have the ability. Now, we've received a lot this weekend. We've been soaking in the presence of God. We've heard lots of teaching. God has spoken to us. And some of your brains are kind of on overload. by this point. It's like your brain can only hold so much. So, and you're home. Okay, good, good, good. So, we have been in this place of consecration. We've been in this place where God has been anointing us and setting us apart. And you're going to find when you come out of this weekend, when you come out of this place, at the very beginning of this spiritual year, there's a new level of consecration on you. There's a new level where God, during the moving of his spirit this weekend, has been able to cut some things away. He's been able to break some things off of your life. He's been able to bring some new alignments within your own heart and spirit and soul. And now when we come out of this place, I want you to rise up and I want you to use the authority that God has given you. When you go back into your normal life. Okay, now some of you are looking forward to getting back to your normal life, and some of you probably are not looking forward to getting back to some of your normal life. But take what you have received here and let it be released into your normal life. And I want you to understand the very divine glory that is within you. You have power now, even prophetically, to shift atmospheres, to shift situations. You don't have to passively submit to things. See, sometimes we think, I have no control over that. There's nothing I could do about it. So I'm just going to, submit to it. I'm going to be miserable. It's going to distract me. It's going to discourage me. And we just submit under these things. But I want you to rise up today with the glory that is within you. And I'm going to show you that you have power in your spirit to see things shift in the natural. Okay? Because you're going to come out of this place and you're going to shift some things. You're going to shift some things in the natural. And I'm going to show you how to do it today. Okay? You ready? Because the anointing is voice activated. When God created the world, he created the world by speaking the world into existence. He didn't think the world into existence. He spoke it into existence. And when did he speak? He spoke when the glory of the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. As the glory hovered, God spoke, and there was creation. The same thing works for us. As we are touching the divine glory of God, as we have access to the glory of God, from that place, we open our mouth, and we step into the creative power of God. Oh, hallelujah. Do you remember, I want to show you an example of this. Do you remember when God took Ezekiel, the prophet? Let's talk about the prophetic a little bit. He took Ezekiel, the prophet, stood him in front of this valley of dry bones. Remember that? And God asked him, hey, Ezekiel, what do you see? And he said, I see a valley full of dry, dead bones. And then God asked him a question. Because, we can apply this to our lives, where God stands us over our life and says, what do you see? And you may look at aspects of your life and say, oh, I don't see anything good over here. Oh, I don't see anything good over there. It doesn't look good, God. Have you ever looked at your life and said, oh, looks like a valley of dry, dead bones. Things are not going so good here, God, And in the natural, that's what we see. But then God said, well, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel was pretty smart. And he probably knew that God was asking him a trick question. Because, of course, in the natural, it didn't look like these bones could live. They were dry. They were dead. I mean, it was gone. It was far gone. And in the natural, everyone say in the natural. In the natural, it looked like they were all dried up and dead and done. It was over, no more hope, nothing. And Ezekiel was very smart in his answer. He said, God, only you know. Only you know, God. And he's probably thinking to himself, these bones are dead. But God, only you know. Because God may, show you some areas of your life and say, hey, what do you see here? Oh, God, I see something not too good here. Well, do you think this can live? Oh, God. And in your own natural perspective, there's not a lot of hope. You're like, oh, God, I don't think so, but only you know, God. And then God gave a very clear, amazing prophetic instruction to Ezekiel. He didn't say to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, look at what you see in the natural and just speak what you see. He said, Ezekiel, look at those dry, dead bones, and I want you to begin to prophesy to those bones. I want you to begin to speak to those bones. And I want you to prophesy the breath of life into those bones. And Ezekiel said, okay, God. And he did it. He began to prophesy to the winds. And as he began to prophesy, not what he saw in the natural, but what he saw revealed from heaven's perspective, suddenly there was a sound and there was a shaking. And there was a moving, and those bones all started to shake. What looked dead, what looked like it was hopeless, dead, gone, suddenly it started to shake. And it started to rattle, and there was the sound of bones moving, and bones reconnecting, and bones realigning. And as he kept prophesying, now muscles came on, and sinews came on, and skin came on, and he kept prophesying. He didn't stop, he kept prophesying. And then all of a sudden, breath breathed into that body. And it stood up from a valley of dry, dead bones, stood up a massive army, strong and filled with life through the power of the prophetic decree. Look, if you don't have anyone to prophesy over you, prophesy over yourself. Speak to yourself. It's totally okay. I talk to myself all the time. And Stephanie tells me, Matt, you're talking to yourself again. I'm like, no, I'm not talking to myself. I'm prophesying. I'm either talking to God or I'm prophesying. You can prophesy. You can speak life where in the natural it looks like there's no hope. In fact, when you identify every area of your life or any external situation around you that looks hopeless, rather than lining your mouth up with what you see in the natural, you see, because too many people are empowering the enemy and they don't even realize they're doing it. If two or more agree, it shall be done. Look, I'm going to teach you how to disempower the enemy. Never line your mouth up with what he's doing. Never line your mouth up even with what you perceive in the natural. You see, for example, the enemy may be working on one of your teenagers. Anyone ever have problems with a teenager? Okay. So maybe the enemy is doing some work there and trying to pull a teenager in a place of rebellion or a place of whatever. And there's just something happening. Rather than lining your mouth up with what you perceive in the natural. And going to your kid and saying, oh, you're horrible. You're not going to do anything with your life. You're going to be just like so-and-so. Come on, this happens. This happens all the time. And as people speak what they see in the natural, they are coming into agreement with what the enemy is trying to do in that person's life. And even as you speak it, you're in a way empowering it by coming into agreement with it. You know the best thing you could do to your teenager that's struggling? Just speak to him and say, hey, you know what? You are so anointed. You are so on fire for God. Even if they look at you like you're crazy and they have no clue what you're saying, you are the most on fire anointed man of God I have ever seen. You are a prayer warrior. You are holy. You are consecrated. Oh, you are so submissive. You are just amazing. And you speak it. You speak it in your prayer closet. You speak it over their life. You speak it over them when they're sleeping. You're submissive in Jesus' name. Just speak it. You're loving and kind in Jesus' name. As you get older, you will always love me and adore me in Jesus' name. You will always think I'm the greatest in Jesus' name. And you line your words up with what God says, not with what the enemy says, and not with what you perceive in the natural. We got to rise above the natural and get the heavenly perspective. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is not speaking what you see in the natural. Because I've seen some amazing prophetic words, like, come to people and everyone around them looks at them and like, are you sure that word's for that person? Like, do you know them? Do you know them? Yeah. Yeah, God knows them. But God sees something in them that you can't see yet. And that's what prophecy does. It calls forth the divine perspective and the divine mind of God over that person's life, not what it even is in the natural. Right? You could prophesy over yourself. You could prophesy over your children. You could prophesy over your family. You could prophesy over situations. You could prophesy over people's lives and take authority through the spoken word in the realm of the spirit. And you can see things not just shift in the spirit, but shift in the natural. Can I give you an example that I experienced recently in my own life? This was amazing. Because I think, again, sometimes we submit to things that we think are outside of our control. And we just say, okay, well, I have no ability to change that. So we just have to accept it. And I think sometimes we accept things we don't have to. I remember I was ministering at a place. And the first night I was there, I had a dream. And God speaks to me sometimes in dreams. So I had this dream, and I wake up from this dream, and I'm like, what is this dream? What is this about God? It was the weirdest dream. And in my dream, I see a teenage girl at school. And I see this teenage girl at school surrounded by a group of boys, and they're attacking her. They're bullying her. They're just really, really giving her a hard time. And I'm dreaming about this. And I'm like, what is this dream, God? So I wake up. I go to church that night, and I'm teaching. And in the middle of my teaching, Holy Spirit says to me, share the dream right now. It was like I had my thoughts and then this other thought just kind of crashed through my brain. Said, share that teaching right now. I'll share that word, that dream. So I stopped and I shared the dream. I went on with my teaching. After the service was over, I went back to our resource table, our product table. Again, that product table is a really anointed place. I went to the table and a mom comes up to me. A woman comes up to me with her teenage daughter, and she looks at me and she says, that dream you had is my teenage daughter. She says to me, and the girl stood there with her head down like this. I mean, she wouldn't even look up. She was so beat down. She said, my daughter can't even go to school anymore because when she was going to school, there was a group of boys that would attack her at school and physically spit on her and scream at her and abuse her. She can't even go to school anymore. This girl was staying at home because it was so, the bullying was at such an extreme level at school. So this love of the Father's heart rises up in me. And I just take this young girl in my arms and I put my arms around her. And at first I'm praying, God, heal her. And she starts weeping. I mean, she starts crying. All the pain starts coming out. And I'm holding her in my arms and she's crying and crying and crying. And then about halfway through, I mean, this lasted for about 20 minutes. She just cried in my arms. And about halfway through my prayer, something else rose up on the inside of me. And I said, you know what? We're not going to submit to this. We're not just going to let this happen. And I began to decree over her prophetically that every assignment of the enemy was broken against her life. Because you do realize that when you see targeted bullying like that, it is a demonic strategy against that child's life to beat them down before they ever have an opportunity to come into the fullness of who they are. Yeah. Right? We have to discern these things. So began to cut it off of her life, decreed, it's broken in the name of Jesus, healed and free in the name of Jesus. And then I began to decree that that assignment would be broken off of the group of boys, that whatever was influencing them would be broken. Right? So I just began to prophetically, through intercession, decree this over them. The next day, I get a Facebook message from the mom. She said, when my daughter woke up this morning, she was a different person. She said, all of the trauma that she's been through is gone. She's healed. She's free from it. And the daughter came to life again. On the inside, she came to life again. And you see, the anointing breaks the yoke. So she said not only was she healed of what happened at school, but she was even healed of earlier childhood trauma that happened to her when she was younger. She was healed of it. And that's a wonderful thing. So then another day goes by. She writes me again. And she says, my daughter got up this morning and she said, Mom, I want to go back to school. And the mother said, are you sure? And she said, yes, I want to go back to school. So she got on the school bus and went back into school. While she was on the school bus, one of the teenage boys of that group was on her bus. And he sees her. And he comes walking up to her. And as he gets near her, something supernatural happens. And he looks at her and he says, "I have to apologize to you. He says, "I don't know why I have been doing what I have been doing to you, but I am sorry. Will you forgive me?" And this girl's heart was so pure. She's like, "Yes, I forgive you. I forgive you." And God took something that looked like it was unchangeable in the natural, but through the power of prophetic decree and through the power of aligning words and prayers with the heart and mind of God, there was divine intervention into a situation that looked unchangeable. So I want to tell you today, what appears to be unchangeable in your life, or even in situations around your life, or even in situations in other people's lives that you know, although it may appear unchangeable, it is not unmovable. There is power in you. You are a king and a priest. And you have prophetic power to align your mouth with the mouth of God and to release creative supernatural power into situations and see dry, dead bones come to life again. Hallelujah. You are going to prophesy to every dry, dead bone in your life, every dry, dead situation, every hopeless situation. You are not going to align your mouth with what you see. You're going to speak what you see from God's perspective. And you're going to watch divine intervention begin to realign things, shake some things up, and bring life where there's death. Amen. You're called to be a life giver. I said you're called to be a life giver. You're called to release life. You're called to release faith. You're called to release hope. You're called to release change. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, the devil's getting real scared now. He's hearing this and he's getting real scared because you are about to overthrow. You are about to overthrow everything the enemy has ever tried to do. Oh, praise God. He's got to get his hands off your children. He's got to get his hands off your teenagers. He's got to get his hands off of your grown-up children and every other situation around you. You see, Jesus spoke to the storm, and the storm quieted. You see, if the enemy can't touch you, sometimes he tries to stir up things around you, right? He tries to stir up storms around you, right? But you have power to speak to those storms and say, "In the name of Jesus, be still." And that thing has to calm down. Oh, praise God. I believe we could even talk to the weather. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Me and Stephanie, we were celebrating our 2-year wedding anniversary. And we were someplace nice where it's supposed to be sun and just peaceful and beautiful. And I look at the weather report and it's like torrential downpour rains coming for the next 5 days approaching the shore. And everyone's closing the docks, they're closing the waters, they're closing everything. We wanted to go on a boat. They're like, "No, we're closing everything down. There's a bad storm coming." And I'm like, "Not on my anniversary. Not on my anniversary." And rather than passively taking it, I said to Stephanie, "We're going to pray right now." And I grabbed her hand and we started prophesying to the air. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, storm, turn around and go out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out." By that afternoon, that storm turned, and we had 100% sun and beautiful weather that whole week. And everyone was shocked. They're like, "Oh, you know what I mean? Like, the docks were closed, the boats were closed, and here's the sun shining." Oh, praise God.